Jesus is still talking about what it will be like before he comes a second time to rule. Disciples had asked him, what will be the signs you will come to rule, and what will be the signs of the end of the age? Jesus gave them a long answer. Although the full book of Revelation is much longer and Daniel has more material, yet in Matthew 24 and 25, Jesus' answer to one question was 97 verses long. Concerning the church, we now look for Jesus himself to come. Nothing needs to be fulfilled before the rapture or snatching away of the church. We could argue and make a good case that is before the tribulation. Church will be gone. So we don't look for signs of the end of the world. We look for the Savior to come. When Jesus gave his answers in Matthew 24 and 25, there was yet no church. It was future to the scripture that we are studying. Jesus had said in Matthew 16, I will build my church. The church will not start until Acts chapter 2. So in Matthew 24, Jesus was not talking to Christians. We won't be here during the tribulation. He was talking to people at that time who were still Jewish listeners while the temple was in force. The signs of a tribulation period will be after the church will be gone up. After that rapture, then begins all of these signs. He has already talked before today's first verse about false Christs, famines, earthquake, plagues, Luke 21, we'd say epidemics, an end time abomination that makes polluted, abomination that destroys, the name for an end time tyrant, he will come. Apostle John in 1 John calls him the Antichrist, substitute Christ, against Christ. Paul calls him the lawless one in 2 Thessalonians. And John likes to call him the beast in Romans 13. He will stand in the temple, Jesus says, and so does John and Paul. He will stand in the temple, a rebuilt temple to us, and he will demand that other people come and worship him. He will demand that they worship the icon, the image of the beast. If he will not worship the icon and will not take marks on their forehead or hands, they cannot buy or sell. And the people opposite the beast will be persecuted. Jesus has said in verses we've already studied, he will return and all of the world will see him. The natural lights will stop. It won't be sun, moon, or stars, but the glowing will be the Son of Man coming. Son of Man out of Daniel, Jesus' favorite title. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Revelation, he will come riding horses, all these millions of horses from somewhere. We stopped that part of his answering the question at verse 31. He will come in clouds and great glory. Angels will separate all the tribulation survivors. That's our last verse, verse 31. They will go get them from the four directions. Here are the saved on this side. Here are the unsaved on that side. We will continue now with new verses. Matthew 24, first section will be verses 32 through 34. It actually goes through verse 35, but that's so important we wanted to read it by itself. So verse 32. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. And you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation shall not pass away until all these things take place. Well, we're not in spring and summer, but we're going to get in a little while towards the brown leaves and yellow leaves and fall, and they will drop. And next spring, we will start to see the green coming out, and then summer is near. Just like summer is coming, there will be signs all over the world. He calls it an opening door. So do quite a few other people. It's kind of like the book of Revelation. Although Jesus was first, the opening door. It will be obvious, like a lightning strike. He already referred to a lightning strike in verse 27. But verse 30, all the people on the earth will know that the King Jesus is coming. They will look upon me whom they have pierced. That's Zechariah 12:10. Me, they will look upon God. So the one who is pierced is God, but God in the flesh. That's Old Testament. God is talking. God the Son. This generation shall not pass away. Now I like Ryrie's Study Bible, and I see in his notes this generation, to his interpretation, refers to the nation, the Jewish people. Israel will not perish. The Antichrist will not kill all Jewish people. And the Lord Jesus Christ will come back and protect those that are surviving. So I think that is true, that the Jewish nation will not pass. But while it is true, I might be talking about the tribulation generation. There will only be one generation of tribulation. It will not be a long time. Often in the Old Testament, it's 7 years. But here, it's just like it will be one generation only. It will be shortened. Jesus used the word shortened. Verse 22, the time period will be shortened. If it were much longer, everybody would die, but it will be shortened. Lasting one generation. Book of Daniel has it being the 70th week of Daniel. And so that seems to be 7 years long, relatively short, one generation. The first half, it will not be a united world under a dictator. There will be all these different countries. They will all be fighting each other. The second half, it will be one dictator. Verse 35 we will take by itself because it gives a lot of talk about Jesus' views of the eternal truth. So let's look at verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The world will end. It won't end right the second coming. In Revelation 19, the Lord Jesus Christ comes back with the armies of heaven. And in Revelation 20, Jesus will rule this earth for 1,000 years, a millennium. After the millennium, the new heavens and new earth will come closer down, and this world will be destroyed. Although I sometimes think renewed. It would be all right to think of a brand new world, a second planet, but I kind of think of this world being cleansed of sin, no more curse. The millennium will be on this earth. After that, there will be a destruction of this earth of some kind or a renovation. Then there will be a new earth. But the reason we separated verse 25 is the word of God will not pass away. The world, in some sense, will pass away. It is temporary, but the Word of God will be eternal. God is eternal. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are eternal. The church is eternal. The bride of Christ, one could think of the church as ending eventually, but we have the middle of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 21, to him be glory in the church forever and ever. So the church universal, I believe, will be eternal. God's word will be eternal. This also tells us about Jesus' view of Scripture. There are parallel verses that God's word is eternal before Jesus talking here. We have Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the flower fades, the grass withers, the word of God lasts forever. That got quoted again in the New Testament. It's in 1 Peter 2, 24 and 25. It's in James 1, 10. Jesus said this also before we got to this closing part. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, until heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle will pass away from the law until all is fulfilled. So earlier in Matthew, again in Matthew, at today's verse 35, Jesus is talking about the Word of God will be eternal. There are no mistakes in it. It does not need to be altered. It does not need to be corrected. That concerns the original giving of the Word of God, but it was copied very faithfully. There are a few hundred words. We're not sure which it means, which was the original, but no matter which one you use, you have the same theology in those few cases. The Word of God is eternal. The earth and heaven are wearing down, and that concerns creation again. If it's wearing down, it had to have an originator. It had to have a beginner. It had to have a starting time. It cannot be wearing down eternally. So there was a beginner. There was an originator. The Bible is eternal. Now he continues showing that he did believe in the book of Genesis because he believed in the story of Noah, verses 36 through 39. Day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son of Man, but the Father alone. For just as the coming of the Son of Man will be like the days of Noah, for in those days before the flood there was eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not understand until a flood came and took them all away, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. No one knows the day of the rapture. That could be at any time. That could be immediately. Jesus could come and take the church to heaven at any time. This is talking about the second coming, when he comes back to earth to rule and overthrows the Antichrist and takes over, and no one knows that day either. We've had people that have guessed. Being from Battle Creek, I think of the Seventh-day Adventists, and anyway, the Whites, they said 1850s. Well, it didn't happen in 1850. Although I will say again, Seventh-day Adventists are not as bad as some of the other cults, but they were wrong on that. But it says right here, no one knows the day or the hour. The other thing that's about Jesus' nature here is the Son does not know. The Son of God did not know the day or the hour. But you have the Lord Jesus Christ. He has two natures. One person, two natures. Eventually he could probably turn it off. As God, Jesus knew everything. Omniscient. the Latin word. Peter said to him, near the end of John 21, 27, Lord, you know all things. And we have a couple of other verses that he knew everything. Matthew 9:4, knowing their thoughts. And John 2:24, he knew all people. In other words, he could read all the minds. Jesus, as God, knows everything, but as human, he evidently cannot turn the switch off. So we have in here, he did not know the day of his own coming, which means Seventh-day Adventists didn't, and people who say he's coming such and such a day, and there have been a couple of others after then, even in our times, they'll say it's coming that day. No one really knows. But Jesus did say the tribulation period will be like the times before the Noah's flood. We can look at Genesis 6 through 9, look at Noah's flood. Evidently, they would see Noah building the ark, didn't have any concern about the world being destroyed. And that's kind of what Jesus is saying here. He's teaching about the world being destroyed, but a lot of people won't have any concern about that. They won't have any concern about getting to safety before the world is destroyed. The tribulation will have the same thing as Noah. Are they paying attention? Are they paying attention that the world will end? Or, in his case, are they paying attention to that the Savior will come? The new king will come? In the tribulation period, there will be two witnesses, probably Moses and Elijah. There will be an angel flying in mid-heaven giving the gospel. Are they paying attention? A lot of them will not pay attention. They will be destroyed. The next section has some applications, but it also says that there will be a division. One taken, one left. When Jesus returns to set up his kingdom, all unbelievers will be gone. So let's read verses 40 and 41. There will be two men in the field, one taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, one will be left. He's talking about the end of the world at the close of the tribulation period. These lines do illustrate Jesus giving things that are of attention both to men and women. Men will be working in the fields and women will be cooking. Other verses, Jesus will come in Matthew 25 and talk about lost sheep. Other references to a lost coin. Lost sheep, of more interest to men. Lost coin, sweeping the house, more interest to women. So he indirectly shows us that he had wanted attention of both genders, and he wanted both genders to trust in him as Savior. Jesus' main point, though, is about the second coming. Some will be taken away, some left. When Jesus comes to rule the world, you want to be left. You don't want to be taken away. Now, that is kind of the opposite of the rapture before the tribulation. At the rapture, we would like to be taken away. But 7 years later, at the end of the tribulation, there are all these survivors, saved and unsaved. It will be the unsaved that are taken away. So right now, we'd like to be taken away as the church. We'd like to be raptured. We'd like to go up. We don't want to be left behind down here in the world. But when Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation, it will be the unbelievers who are taken away. And all the believers can stay for 1,000 years and enjoy the kingdom. So sometimes left behind, referring to now, is we don't want to be left behind. We want to go up. We want to be taken away. But at this time period, believers will stay and unbelievers will be taken away. Now, the next section refers to Jesus coming. He's talked a lot about separation. Now he will come, and then he will come kind of like a thief at an unexpected time. So let's read about that in verse 42 through 44. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming back in an hour when you do not think he will. Verse 42, be on the alert. Verse 44, you must be ready. Now, of course, Jesus is not like in every way like what we call a home invader. He is the opposite of a criminal in that sense of doing wrongs. But his illustration is people could come at an unexpected time, and the Lord Jesus Christ will come at an unexpected time. In the full Bible, references to thief as a knight is used of both the rapture and the second coming 7 years later. We don't know when he will come. Right now, kind of like any day, immediately, and they're not going to know. They say, be ready. He's going to come, but there are going to be a lot of them that don't pay any attention. There is a reference in 1 Thessalonians to Jesus coming like a thief in the night. In 1 Thessalonians, the date can be proven. It was AD 50 or 51. So Jesus' words, in this case about a thief in the night coming, Jesus' words were already being written in books in AD 50 and 51. That's a little bit off the topic, but phraseology, he's coming like a thief in the night, is in 1 Thessalonians, which was written in AD 50 and 51. In other words, Jesus' words were known very, very early. It is not true that the people that wrote the Gospels lived a long time after the life of Jesus and had no idea what he did or what he said. The thief in the night quotation is used already at AD 50 and 51. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. The final section for today tells about faithful servants who keep working while the master is gone, and unfaithful servants that while the master is gone, they steal from him. Go ahead and read about that. Verse 45. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom the master put in charge of his household to give them food in their proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and to eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know, and here's the application, it will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We do want to get a definition of Jesus' servants. The church had not started yet. I think in the church age we would not call unsaved people Jesus' servants. But Matthew 24 is not in the church age. Matthew 24, technically, the temple is still in operation and it is Old Testament. Jesus is defining God's servants as his listeners. Saved Jewish people, unsaved Jewish people. God's servants who are saved would do God's work. He saved Jewish people. But there are unsaved Jewish people and will be unsaved Jewish people in the tribulation. The saved will be blessed and rewarded. The unbelievers, by definition of being Jewish, as listeners, could be called God's servants, but they're unbelievers. And they will be the outcasts. So he's not talking about believers in Jesus as Savior. He's not talking about Christians that are thrown into hell. He's talking about still, he's in the Old Testament period. He's still when the temple is in operation, when he was talking with them. There was no church yet. And he's talking about servants who are saved, believers in him and do God's work. But unsaved people can be called servants. And if they're unsaved, they will be cast into outer darkness, will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Another reference to hell given by Jesus. Every time it comes up, we kind of stress it because there are some people that don't believe in the existence of hell or don't believe in a future punishment for unsaved people. But Jesus has referred to it quite a few times in his answer to what is the signs of your coming. He talked about it in Matthew 23, verse 15, that unbelievers are sons of hell. He talked about it in Matthew 23:33, you will not escape the sentence of hell. He's talking about it again here at the close of chapter 24, verse 51. Thrown into that place, weeping and gnashing of teeth. We will stop before we get to chapter 25. It'll be the same thing. Sheep over here, believers. Goats over here, unbelievers. Sheep, you can enter the kingdom. Goats, depart from me. And he will talk about eternal punishment for them. Jesus had already said that the Gentile centurion would be going into the kingdom of God, but Jewish unbelievers, by definition of being Jewish in the Old Testament period, Jewish unbelievers, even the servants of God, will be thrown out or they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Some of our lessons. Heaven and earth will be changed. The Word of God is eternal. Nothing ever needs to be changed. It was all right the first time. We do not know the day when Jesus will come at the rapture or at the end of the tribulation. We do know the tribulation will be awful of all these lists of things that he just talked about. He did talk to both men and women. He would do that. He would go one direction and the other direction. He did it on purpose. Tribulation saints will enter the kingdom. Unbelievers will depart. Matthew 25 will begin next time. I'll actually be glad to get back to the life of Jesus in his final week. But he will continue in Matthew 25 with the same conclusions. They'll be separated. Sheep over here, goats over here. Sheep can go into the heavenly gates. Goats into eternal fire. Will the musicians please come?